Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. In the KSRO kitchen, not the greenhouse, we have moved across the hallway to meet up with Chef John Ash this morning. Hello, Chef John Ash.
Hello. How are you?
I am doing very well. The New Year's is off to a good start. Cooking up a storm, having a great time in the kitchen. And even though they say this is supposed to be non-alcohol January, I haven't really observed that yet. I know people are on this no drinking in January. I prefer just to drink moderately year-round and not have to just give up everything for a month. But I understand that.
So how do you feel about mocktails?
They've come a long way.
Yeah.
Number one is it used to be I was paying $12 for a can of fizzy soda with something just splashed together, and I thought, this is ridiculous. But I think bartenders, by and large, are taking it seriously and being very creative and having some really interesting botanicals that they've added and aging spirits and non-alcoholic spirits. And I'm liking them when I'm ordering them in restaurants. What about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, it's a good alternative.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel like, oh, I've got to get either an iced tea or a lemonade or sparkling water and be done with it. No, you can order a very good beverage. Yeah. It's non-alcoholics. Well, I ran across this article and sent it to you, and you said, and John knows everything, first of all.
No, I don't.
No, he does. And John said, oh, I didn't know this. And here's the headline. I just found out my Pyrex isn't a real Pyrex, and my mind is blown. I didn't know this, and it all boils down to, of course, money. So what is Pyrex? Pyrex is the official trademark brand name of the popular cookware brand. I think we know that. When the P is capitalized and the rest is lowercase, it's simply a proper noun for the company. The business got its name by spinning off its original product, the Pyrite pie plant. So, little P Pyrex is probably what your kitchen's measuring cups, meal prep containers, drinkware are made from. It's crafted from, here, get this, soda lime glass, one of the most common types of glass produced commercially. Soda lime glass is less expensive because it's not as heat resistant. In fact, it's used for products like light bulbs and some beverage bottles because of how easy it is to mold into shape while hot. The brand Pyrex has historically owned the trademark for Little P Pyrex, but its parent company, Corning, sold the company. So lowercase Pyrex is produced by other cookware companies that don't use the heat-resistant borosilicate glass. The original company does. So this is really interesting. I never knew this. And, of course, I ran to my kitchen, John, and grabbed my Pyrex measuring cups. And mine are large capital Pyrex, the original Corning.
You've had them for a long time, probably.
Probably 25 years. Yeah. So, again, Pyrex, the emphasis on the lowercase, is mostly made from soda lime glass. And it's definitely not recommended for use in the oven or microwave. And there have been instances of actually these lowercase Pyrex containers blowing up in the oven. Now, Big P Pyrex, all caps, is made with, as I mentioned, borosilicate glass, which is much more heat-resistant and durable than other kinds of glass. And, of course, that makes it good for cooking in the microwave, et cetera, et cetera. You can save adding liquids to the measuring cups and all of that. So it's composed of silica and boron oxide. Borosilicate glass is much more suited for high heat cooking. So I can tell the difference. Well, it's pretty easy. Lowercase Pyrex means it was made after Corning sold it and licensed the use of the word Pyrex to anybody that wants to make these, which seems should be illegal.
Yeah,
And if you find large case Pyrex measuring cups or pie pans, you know it was the original Corning produced one.
And it'll withstand heat resistant. It's what I bake my brownies in.
Of course. You know, and again, it's like What else do we have to be worried about? You buy a brand name, you assume that it's the original formula. Yeah. No, not anymore, because it's the company was sold. So what I would suggest, when and about it, garage sales, flea markets, where a lot of people are clearing out all their cookware for one reason or the other, they're downsizing or one person, whatever's happening, look for large capital Pyrex. And if you have lowercase, get rid of it and replace it. What do you think?
That's cool. So I had no idea.
It was a revelation to me, and it was like, oh, no, something else I can't trust. Yeah. I can't just intrinsically trust, oh, here's the name, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Sure, it's going to be, no, not anymore, because, again, money.
Well, and because it's dangerous.
And it can be dangerous. Yeah. I'm not saying that there's many instances of this happening, but enough that you need to be cautious of not putting hot liquids into it, not putting it in the oven, not putting it in the microwave. There are caveats involved with lowercase Pyrex. Now you know. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And we're going to chat about Lebanese food today. And we're very excited about this.
Engage in discussions that matter.
The more we talk about it, the better.
KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk.
Cooking is my creative outlet, so no surprise my son is a whiz in the kitchen. I've always told him to start with fresh ingredients, don't be afraid to experiment, and get the tools you need for cooking from Hardesty's Homewares.
Since so much of cooking is about technique, the tools and gadgets you use can make all the difference. Hardesty's has every kitchen tool you could imagine, and quite a few you didn't even know you needed. Find your bliss on the gadget wall. Hardesty's carries the most trusted brands, KitchenAid, Cuisinart, Messermeister Cutlery. They even have Braun and Norelco shavers. Hardesty's is famous for their fresh roasted coffee with 45 to choose from. And of course, they have all kinds of coffee makers to bring those beans to life. Hardesty's carries air fryers, toaster ovens, cookware, bakeware, cutting boards, mixers, storage containers, canning accessories, and bread makers. Hardesty's Homewares, 1513 Farmers Lane in Santa Rosa, in the Farmers Lane Plaza next to AAA, your culinary toy store since 1924.
Hey, Sonoma County businesses, in case you haven't heard, the next North Bay Job Fair at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is coming up on Tuesday, January 23rd. The North Bay Job Fairs are the favorite of many Sonoma County employers and potential employees. Listen to what Shelby Atwood, recruiter for Oliver's Market, has to say about the North Bay Job Fair.
What I love about this job fair is that not only do we get a lot of great applicants, but we also get to talk to a lot of community members, which is a great thing for us. We've probably been to about 10 to 12 job fairs for this year, and the North Bay Job Fair is definitely our favorite.
The next North Bay Job Fair is Tuesday, January 23rd from 2 to 4:30. Register today at northbayjobfair.com. Don't miss out on this chance to meet some wonderful future employees. When you register, you'll have access to their resumes ahead of time, then interview and hire on the spot. Register for the job fair taking place at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts on January 23rd at northbayjobfair.com. northbayjobfair.com.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Want the best lunch buffet in the North Bay? Mountain Mike's has you covered. Weekdays from 11 to 2, enjoy unlimited pizza and salad for one low price. It's the perfect combination of flavors and flexibility. It's the best of both worlds. Combine a slice or two of pizza with a personalized salad creation all your own. Choose from their legendary crispy curly pepperoni, classic cheese, or specialty pizza. Create your ultimate lunch experience just the way you like it. Online at mountainmikes.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating 37, 38 years. My math is not that good. America's longest-running radio food program. And we're delighted today to talk about a topic, a cuisine, John, that we have never talked about on the show, and that's Lebanese cuisine.
Well, I think because it's, you know, it's been mysterious.
It has been mysterious. And after we chat with a cookbook author, we're going to be tasting some great Lebanese cuisine. We want to welcome Lila Kursky to the show. Lila has rewritten her mom's classic Lebanese cuisine cookbook, and we want to have a brief chat with her this morning about what that's all about. Welcome to the show, Lila.
Thank you so much.
So your mom wrote this Lebanese cuisine cookbook when?
In the 1970s. So the original publication was 72, and she self-published it. And how she did the recipes was literally just grabbing things from my grandmother's hand as she put them in a pot. It's old school. And it was, she kind of sold it, marketed it on her own, sold it through like a P.O. box. And by the time, you know, I would say the late 80s, she'd sold over 100,000 copies. And it seems to be just a cult kind of classic.
Were there many Lebanese cookbooks around in the early 1970s, as far as you know?
As far as I know, this is really the first one. It was the first time someone tried to put pen to paper.
Oh, my God. Where did your mom write this cookbook? In the United States?
Yeah, yeah. So she grew up in Portland, Oregon. And so think about that, you know, 1970s right. In Portland. Couldn't get any more remote. Although now Portland's the hot spot for cool, you know, restaurants. But, yeah, I think we were in this, you know, sort of upper corner of the world writing a, you know, Lebanese cookbook that seemed to sort of explode out of nowhere.
So Lebanese cuisine is in your blood. You grew up eating this style of food.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And I kind of joke that it was farm to table before farm to table was cool.
Yeah. So when you think about Lebanese food, it's the food of the Middle East. I remember mm-hmm. about that same time, the Time Life series came out, and they had one of their books that they released was Middle Eastern Cooking, they called it, which included Lebanon and Syria and all of that, which they considered all similar food.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
You know, I would say that tight region, especially Lebanon and Syria, for sure, I would say is pretty, pretty close. I think that once you get to Jordan, the cuisine starts to change a little bit. Don't know that for certain.
And you grew up eating Lebanese food, but also Moroccan-style food, too?
Yeah. So my parents split when I was fairly young, and my father worked for the State Department. Oh. And one of his tours of duty was in Morocco. And so I had the pleasure of being able to spend summers in Morocco, and I absolutely fell in love with that cuisine. Mm. It's kind of on a completely different tangent, but still heavy on vegetables and you know, sort of lighter use of meats. But,
so how is it different from Moroccan food?
I would say it's – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That was the question.
Cilantro is used quite a bit versus parsley. And then I would say they use a much heavier hand with spice, heavier hand with cumin, uh-huh. ginger, things like that. It's a little more, a lot more intensely spiced than what I would consider Lebanese food, where, you know, you'd put like a pinch or like an eighth of a teaspoon of, let's say, cinnamon or another spice. They're going all in with, you know, teaspoons.
So you took all the recipes from your mom's original book. And did you retest them all? Were some deleted from the new copy? Did you add new recipes?
Yeah. So partly through photographing everything, I had to retest everything. But I did have notes over the years of like, well, that didn't really quite work. Or, you know, again, these recipes were done on my grandmother's 1940s, you know, GE stove. So it's just, I think things work a little bit differently. So retesting them. Adding a couple, I want to call it hacks here and there. And then I added two recipes to it. And then as we were trying to sort of, I want to say, get the book to the right size, we had to make some life choices on what was going to stay and what wasn't going to stay. Mm-hmm. And those were a few recipes where it's like, I don't think people really eat that anymore. And so, you know, no one's really going to miss it.
Okay.
Like stuffed tripe.
Ah, I was going to ask for an example. Stuffed tripe. Yeah. Not a lot of people. Yeah. Well, again.
Yeah.
But a certain segment of the population certainly would still make that type of recipe, it. But not for exactly. mass consumption.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at the book's organization, sauces, bread and bread dishes, soup, salads, fish, entrees. And then there's kibbe, K-I-B-B-I. Mm. This is really a popular dish for morning lunch or dinner, isn't
it's,
it?
It's the national dish, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, especially when you serve it raw, because, of course, you have to make sure it's very fresh.
Like beef tartare or so. Huh?
Exactly. So it's a celebration dish. Or if you're going to make it in either a sheet or even if you're making those spheres, it takes a lot of work. So it's really a celebration dish.
So would you describe it, describe the recipe for that?
Yeah. So, and maybe what I would start with is it's kind of a genre of recipes. So there's definitely the meat, which we'll talk about. And then there are vegetarian styles where you're using pumpkin or potato. But basically what it is, you're taking, say, lamb or beef, that's usually what I use, mixing it with bulgur, wheat, onions, and a little bit of spice. And that's your kind of base, almost like a meatloaf. And then you're layering it with another layer of meat, which is sauteed with onions, four spices, and pine nuts. And so two ways to kind of do it, the baked kibbe, which is to almost sandwich the layer of one layer of meat, one layer of this sort of filling, and another layer, and then you bake it in a sheet and score it. Or if you're going to serve it raw, then you're just making the base meat and then, again, drizzling it with olive oil and serving that with some pita bread and fresh vegetables.
I was just going to ask you, it can be vegetable-based also, or meat, or lamb, or fish, or anything like that?
Just vegetables primarily. And that's where you start to think, you start to realize there's a lot of vegetarian and, in this case, vegan recipes. So you're mixing the vegetable, either potato or pumpkin, again with the bulgur and the onions and creating that similar base. And then instead of filling it with meat, you're sauteing and caramelizing onions and putting that as the filling.
But it's a very healthy cuisine, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. Because you're using a lot, you're really focusing on the vegetable, and meat is more supplemental than the main event.
Though I have to tell you, I had the raw meat one a long time ago, and I loved it.
It's delicious.
You know, it's one of those things you get a little concerned about eating raw meat, but I guess if you know where the meat comes from. Then,
exactly. And then in a case like that, here I'm in the Seattle area, and I tend to get my meat from a farm up here up in Whidbey Island. I'll go there I know where it comes from. I know the farmers. I feel really confident. But then, you know, maybe don't feel as comfortable going to a supermarket, but if there's a local butcher shop and you know where that's coming from and you feel comfortable talking to the person behind the counter of, you know, how fresh is it and all that. So just taking that extra step, and then it's well worth it.
I love the chapter on Laban, the yogurt dishes. This is very important to the cuisine. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, so it's this is one of those things where my grandmother would always make her own yogurt and always save a little bit to make the next batch. And so that's why I kind of joke we were all kind of farmed a table before. It was cool. But that was a really key thing, that there's always something going. There's always a pot sitting on the counter just sort of resting and turning into yogurt. And with the yogurt, you know, a lot of times it's almost served as a condiment. So like with the stuffed eggplant recipe, someone will put like a bowl of yogurt on the table, and you'll put a little bit of that cool yogurt on top of that sort of warm and spicy vegetable dish. And then the other thing is, you know, draining it and creating labneh, which is that yogurt cheese, which is one of the key things to have for breakfast with like tomatoes and cucumbers and warm bread in the morning. And then also my grandmother would preserve it, you know, take those lemony balls, roll them into little balls, and preserve it with olive oil. Kind of like you would, see like goat cheese balls, but instead it's yogurt cheese.
Wow, doesn't sound great. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful cuisine. We have a real treat for you. by the way.
Oh.
Yes, yes. We have a guest who just joined us in the studio. He's just opened the first Lebanese restaurant here in Sonoma County. And I just met her minutes ago before we went on the air. And I mentioned to her that we were having you on the show. And was she familiar with your cookbook? Christina, would you tell me what you told me when I just met you?
Sure. Hi, Layla. It's a pleasure to meet you. Your mother's book was my grandmother's go-to book for Lebanese recipes because she said it was the closest to how our family cooks. So every woman in our family has a copy of your mom's book. And I actually have my grandmother's original copy from the 70s. And my grandmother, and grandfather moved up to Southern Oregon. And my grandmother found your mom's book at the library in Southern Oregon, and she wanted to buy a copy of it, but she didn't know how, she couldn't get it. So she basically confessed to me that she stole the library copy and never returned it.
Oh my goodness, that's so awesome.
Now your grandmother's not here to defend herself.
Christina. I know. Grandma.
Maybe just fell
that's
into her
purse. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you've probably never heard a story quite like that, Lila.
Well, I've heard the story that people have had it in their families, but I've never heard of someone so focused that they were willing to take it from the library. That's pretty amazing.
So I this was meant to be. Sometimes things are meant to be.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The book. When did the new book come out, Lila?
So this version is literally 2 weeks released. We released December 26th, so right after the holidays.
Man, oh man, are you doing any demos up in the Seattle or Portland area at any bookstores?
I haven't yet, although I was fortunate enough to be on King TV here and did my first ever in the history of the world live demo on TV. So that was kind of entertaining. But it was great fun. But that was the first time I've done something like that.
This is exciting. Are there Lebanese restaurants now in the Seattle area?
Yeah, there are. There's one called Memnoon, which was actually featured when Seattle was on an Anthony Bourdain show. He featured a little segment there, and that's probably our favorite. It's kind of a modern, hip, but delicious place. And there's a few others, and I have to confess, I don't go as much, but my son likes to go with his buddies to a couple up there. But then he comes home and complains that it's not quite the same, but it's still really good. And yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well,
what's the city that has the largest Lebanese population?
I think Dearborn in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say outside Detroit is the largest Arabic population in the U.S. and the greatest restaurants, because my son and their family live in Chicago, and she's from Detroit. And so she hipped me to all the great Lebanese and all the other Middle Eastern restaurants that are up in the Detroit area. Your book is now available.
And that's where my family's from. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. That's where my dad's family is from, and I've had cousins that have had really fabulous restaurants there.
Well, we are really blessed because Christina has brought John and I a spread from her restaurant, Spread Kitchen, of some of her best dishes for us to have lunch. So we're going to say goodbye to you.
Oh, that's awesome.
I wish you were here to break bread with us, but we want to make sure our listeners know that they can recreate many of these dishes by looking at Lebanese cuisine, more than 185 simple, delicious, authentic recipes written by Lila Kursky, and this is based on her mom's groundbreaking book from 1972. Best of success on this new book, and hopefully we'll be able to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure talking with you. Take care, Lila.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll meet Chef Christina Topham from Spread Kitchen in beautiful, the thriving metropolis of Boys Hot Springs, California.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
My dad has a cold, but also has high blood pressure. That's why I got him Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure for max strength daytime relief. Unlike some ordinary cold medicines, it's specially formulated for people like my dad. DayQuil High Blood Pressure is sugar-free, alcohol-free, and decongestant-free.
Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure. The daytime, non-drowsy, coughing, aching, fever, sore throat, cold, and flu for people with high blood pressure.
Like my dad.
Medicine.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Sonoma County knows that recycling is great for the planet. Did you know that electronics like TVs and laptops need special handling to recover toxic material? Fortunately, Zero Waste Sonoma, in partnership with Conservation Corps North Bay, hosts free e-waste collection events. The next event is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Santa Rosa at Luther Burbank Center from 9 to 5. Dispose of your electronics for free this weekend at Luther Burbank Center, 50 Mark West Springs Road in Santa Rosa. Join the effort to strive for zero waste in Sonoma County.
What would you do if you discovered something in your home was secretly raising your utility bill every month? Hi, I'm John Gorman with Save Energy Company. Those openings in your walls we call windows can be letting in cold and hot air, raising your utility bills 10 to 20%. If your windows are over 10 years old, consider replacing them with new energy-efficient windows from Save Energy Company. They'll save you money every month and make your home more comfortable all year round. For more, visit SaveEnergyCo.com.
News anywhere. Stream KSRO from your smartphone or smart speaker. KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk. FM, AM, and online.
Trade in your old furnace with Henry Mechanical and get cash for your clunker. Upgrade to a more efficient heating system today. Home of the free second opinion. HenryMechanical.com.
I'm KSRO's Dan Tresillos with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. 1 to 2 inches of rain for today with a high of 56 across Sonoma County. Gusts up to 30 miles an hour, maybe another half inch to an inch tonight, low 42 degrees. Few clouds in for tomorrow, but dry, high of 59, very similar from Monday too. Rain, though, may come back on Tuesday. Depend on the weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. And special guest today is Chef Christina Topham, the proud owner of Spread Kitchen in Boys Hot Springs. And thank you so much for your wonderful commentary and additions to our chat with Lila. That was really cool that your grandmother had the cookbook. And this is amazing because you just pulled out a copy of the new Lebanese cuisine that you said
it just appeared at the restaurant 3 days ago in a box and I have no idea who sent it or where it came from.
So unbeknownst to you, someone knew you would love this recipe. I'm sure they had no idea of the lineage that links you, your mother, and your grandmother to this book.
Absolutely. Or maybe they were telling me that I should be more traditional because I've gotten chewed out by a Lebanese grandma for taking my own, initiatives with the food.
Well, everything has to progress, doesn't it? Everything has to move forward while keeping a lot of what you find in the traditional recipes, but also somewhat contemporizing it for how people like to eat nowadays, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also, too, with the ingredients that we have local to us, you know, I really make an effort to use local farms in our restaurant and, support local businesses. So,
what is the background of your family? What's your connection to the
Lebanese? I'm third generation Lebanese. My mom and her side of the family are 100% Lebanese. My great grandparents came here through Ellis Island. Actually, found them on Ellis Island in the records on Ellis Island. And my grandmother and grandfather's families knew each other from Beirut. Our family's from Beirut, and they had an arranged marriage. My grandfather's family emigrated to Los Angeles, and my grandmother's family to New York, and they had an arranged marriage. They were married by proxy. And then my grandfather, he was very into technology. He had one of the first auto body shops in Los Angeles in 1922. And when he and my grandmother got married in the 40s, he was quite a bit older than my grandmother. He went to New York after they got married, he got a convertible Studebaker, and they drove from New York to Los Angeles and stopped at all the national parks along the way. And my grandfather actually has movies of it all.
Oh, those are priceless.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your involvement in the world of cuisine, you've cooked around the world, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been a professional cook for scary 30? To say 25 years now. But I started out, originally before I became a chef, I was a computer programmer and I worked on Wall Street. And since I like to work things backwards in my life, I decided to give up the good income and really struggle. So I went to culinary school and I got my first job in a restaurant and it paid $7.50 an hour. Yeah, and I thought, oh my God, what am I doing?
Doesn't pay much more now.
No, right. And I lived in New York City at the time, so you can only imagine the cost of living there. I tried to make it work, and I dabbled between cooking and the computer industry, and then 9/11 happened, and my folks lived out here in Napa. My dad lived in St. Helena and ran the St. Helena Farmers Market. So after 9/11, I came out here for a year, and my dad was like, well, we need to put you to work to get your mind off things. So I started helping him at the farmers market and volunteering for some like cooking fundraisers and stuff like that. And it was right when Copia was opening. Oh. So I worked as a line cook at Julia's Kitchen at Copia, which was amazing because it was a chance to meet so many incredible chefs, from Julia Child to Ferran Andrea and everyone in between. And Julia Child was a regular there, and she's been my hero since I was a kid. Like, I used to love watching her cooking shows on TV. It was an epiphany when I learned that broccoli didn't have to be mushy the first time I blanched a vegetable. I think I was probably like 15 at the time. And then I went back to New York, and I became a line cook at the Savoy in New York City, which is a really popular Mediterranean restaurant, and it was very farm to table. The chef, Peter Hoffman, would, Wednesdays were our menu change day, so it was always a busy day. And then in the midst of, like, changing recipes, all of a sudden he'd show up with, like, a pig from a farm upstate and be like, oh, hey, we got a pig, you know? And we were all just like, oh, crap.
It's interesting about that. Peter and I became great friends because we were part of Chef's Collaborative together.
Wow.
Did you ever dine at the Savoy?
Oh, yeah.
His restaurant in New York.
Yeah.
She might have cooked your food.
Could have.
Amazing.
So then what brought you out to Sonoma County?
Well, when I realized that I couldn't make a living working as a line cook in New York, or that it was going to be a little more difficult than I was prepared for, I got into the private chef world, and that led to cooking on yachts. I went down to the Caribbean on a vacation, and I put one foot in the sand, and I was like, oh my God, why am I struggling in New York when I can struggle in a sunny location? And so I started working on yachts and as a yacht chef, and these were on like anywhere from 110 feet to 300 foot mega yachts. And they're chartered out, a lot of them, some of them were with just the owners, but most of them were charter yachts. So people could charter them for a mere $250,000 a week. And I loved it. I loved the challenges of it. And I loved seeing the world, and I've cooked all over the Mexico, the Mediterranean, the Caribbean, all over. And it led to some really great private chef jobs, too, in Europe and all over.
Well, I'm really glad you decided to come back to Sonoma and make it your home and open Spread Kitchen. You also do catering. You have energy to burn, it's obvious. And you've brought in some beautiful food. We want to jump into the food and look at the menu, how you designed the menu. You're right on Highway 12, are you not, in Boys Hot Springs?
Yeah, we are.
It's really easy to miss because I need to mention this to you. Dave Fazio, our Garden Talk host, mentioned to me before we went on the air, he said, oh, you're talking about Lebanese food. I said, yeah. I said, you know, we ate at this Lebanese restaurant last night for the first time called Spread in Boys Hot Springs. This is just fortuitous that Dave happened to eat there. And he said the food was fabulous. So there's an unsolicited testimonial from Dave Fazio. We'll take a break, Christina. We'll come right back. We'll taste some great food from Spread Kitchen. Christina Talpam, our guest. I'm Steve Gardner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
The Ramsey Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons, 3 to 6 on KSRO, is brought to you by Cobran Financial. Can you retire? Find out with Cobran Financial.
Here's the latest from Dr. Walter Tom at Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery.
Our nurse practitioner, Sophie, loves intense pulse light treatments called IPL Photofacial. It effectively treats our patient's number one skin concern, brown spots due to sun exposure. Here's Nurse Sophie.
IPL is also effective in treating the redness and facial veins associated with rosacea. It targets redness and hyperpigmentation when nothing else works. I've seen amazing results. IPL is a powerful treatment.
Sophie, who are good candidates for IPL treatments?
Patients who have sun damage, brown spots, rosacea, unwanted blood vessels, broken capillaries, freckles, and uneven skin tone.
Dr. Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in the North Bay. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation.
Let's stay young together.
Visit his website at drtomcosmetic.com. drtomcosmetic.com. drtomcosmetic.com.
United Way of the Wine Country is not your grandparents' United Way. United Way's Earn It, Keep It, Save It free tax assistance program, supported by Redwood Credit Union and a gifted band of volunteers, helps low to moderate income families and individuals claim the tax refunds they deserve at tax time. United Way trained volunteers have helped return over $90 million in refunds to our community. United Way and our coalition of community partners need your help. United Way trained volunteers train in January to greet tax clients and assist with preparing their returns. They make sure all tax credits are claimed by those who qualify for them, such as the California Earned Income Tax Credit and the Young Child Tax Credit. English and Spanish speakers can help by volunteering this tax season as preparers, intake coordinators, and interpreters from February through April. To learn more, visit the United Way website at unitedwaywinecountry.org. Volunteering together for our community, we are united for good.
If you're a human resource professional, recruiter, or business owner, you should have another title after your name, Assistant CFO. It's true. Every person that you hire has a direct impact on the profitability of your organization. Hire well, and profitability increases. Hire poorly? Well, that's not good. Hi, this is Chris Stonick, president of Stonick Recruitment, a national recruitment advertising agency and motivational speaker. I'll be coming to town to host a two-hour seminar on how to better recruit workers, students, and clinical research participants with radio. The seminar is free, fun, and informative. To get all the details or to RSVP, call the following number. I look forward to meeting you.
If you struggle to hire and retain great employees, plan to attend the hottest recruitment seminar of 2024, Tuesday, February 13th, 8:30 a.m. at Oxford Suites, Sonoma County in Rohnert Park. This event is free, and attendees receive 2 SHRM credits. So please register now at sonomamediagroup.com or call Kevin Wadlinger at 707-284-9116.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and we're being serenaded by Christina Topham, the chef owner of Spread Kitchen in Boys Hot Springs. She's brought in some beautiful food. Tell us what's on this plate, Christina.
All right, so you have falafels that we make from, we start from dry beans.
I'm going to hold this up to the mic so our listeners can see.
All right, so we've got the falafels, which we make from dry beans. You soak them, grind them, everything. And we use Rancho Gordo beans.
Oh, great.
It's got cilantro, mint, onions, all kinds of parsley, all kinds of good stuff in it. And then you have our Beirut-style hummus, which has some Aleppo chilies in it, lots of lemon and garlic. You have our egg, our baba ganoush, which we smoke our eggplant, and we hand chop. Most people ruin baba ganoush by doing it in a blender that breaks up the seeds and makes it bitter. And then
let me just pause on this baba ganoush.
It is our biggest seller.
This is what I've been looking for.
Why, thank you.
Wow, that's great.
And then we have a feta dip, which is kind of my own, just, you know, playing around in the kitchen. And it's Bulgarian sheep feta with a little bit of lebna, pureed beets to give it that bright color, roasted garlic, rosemary, and Meyer lemon. And then you have tabbouleh, which is my own little riff on tabbouleh, which is going to make some Lebanese traditionalist's head explode.
Really good tabbouleh because I'm not a tabbouleh fan.
So why?
Because we use quinoa instead of bulgur. I really try to keep the restaurant really easy to navigate for people that are gluten-free. So I've opted for quinoa in the tabbouleh. And then we also put apples in it because it's that time of year and cucumbers are out of season. And we put a little shaved cabbage in it because I think my crew would revolt if I made them chop any more parsley than they already do. And then you have stuffed grape leaves there that we stuff with rice, onions, a bunch of herbs, and they're baked in a slow cooked in a lemon broth. And you have our turmeric chicken there with thyme, which is a whipped garlic sauce. It looks like aioli. There's no eggs or dairy in it. It's taken some time getting my staff to learn to make it properly because if you add the oil a little too fast, you end up with marinade.
Oh, it's lovely. It's very light.
And then you have our pita chips, which are a huge seller at the restaurant. They're made with our really thin Lebanese-style pita bread, and then they're fried and dusted with za'atar that we work with an importer that imports it from an agricultural village in southern Lebanon.
Where do you get your pita?
We got our pita from a pallet from Jerusalem Bakery in Sacramento. They're a Palestinian family, and they ship it overnight to us.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's thinner than traditional.
It's much thinner than traditional pita. And a lot of people now, the puffy pita is really popular. But I had a group of about 15 Lebanese people that live out on the peninsula come in last week and take over half the restaurant. And apparently they'd been following me on Instagram for like a year and have wanted to come in. And as they were walking out the door, they loved everything. And as they were walking out the door, they said, "Don't ever change your pita. This is the perfect pita."
So real Lebanese endorse this pita.
Yeah. In Lebanon, the pita is paper thin. It's actually almost a little bit thinner than that and more delicate. And even at the nicer restaurants, sometimes it's served in a little cellophane bag so that it doesn't dry out.
I noticed fried cauliflower and green tahini. Is that something new on the menu?
Yeah. You know, we're getting tons of cauliflower from Oak Hill Farm and Paul's Produce right now. Mm-hmm. And I love cauliflower, and we grew
now,
up.
Oak Hill Farm is right there on Highway 12 in Glen Ellen, Kenwood area.
Yeah, and then Paul's Produce is over off of Arnold.
Yeah.
So I love fried cauliflower, and it was one of those things that I grew up on, that my grandmother would make roasted cauliflower and with tahini sauce, and so this is my little play on it.
What a menu. all this in your tiny little restaurant. You make almost everything.
Oh, it's
by
bananas
hand.
Because I always want to do specials, but we're actually pretty busy most of the time. and we struggle to keep up with a lot of the prep because we don't have a walk-in either. We've got 3 2-door reach-ins and 2 low boys, so you know, yeah, we make everything fresh daily out of necessity.
I didn't try the dolma yet. Did you try those yet?
Yes, I did. So what is the bright pink? What is may have mentioned that.
Yeah, that's our whipped feta and labneh dip. Oh. It's got roasted garlic, rosemary, and some roasted beets. We got some beautiful beets from Paul's and from Oak Hill, so we've been using those.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And where do you source your olives from?
We get our olives, oh gosh, they're Divina. We get them through one of our vendors, but they're plain when we receive them, and we actually marinate them with our, we make preserved lemons at the restaurant, we marinate them with preserved lemons, sumac, and rosemary.
Oh my gosh, I could just eat a bag of these pita.
Oh yeah.
Chips, by the way. Do you sell these by the bag?
We do, we sell them by the bag. And,
oh, I see. And you also sell za'atar.
Yeah, we sell tins of our za'atar. Za'atar. Actually, in my family pronounces it za'atar.
Oh, pardon.
So
me.
The R is silent. That's okay. Everybody makes that mistake, except for the Lebanese.
Za'atar. Okay, now we know. Za'atar.
The other thing, too, is that baklava is Turkish or Greek, but in Lebanon, it's batlewa. So
Let me try. Baklewa.
With a T, batlewa. It sounds like a T.
Oh, B-A-T?
Well, it's spelled with a K, but it's pronounced like a T.
I give up. I'm going to say baklava because that's what I grew up with.
Well, I get people looking at the menu going, how come it's spelled with a W? You have a typo. Yeah.
But it's not. That's the spelling.
It's batlewa.
Yeah. And you don't make your own phyllo,
No. Okay. I'm crazy, but not that crazy. But we make our own baklava in-house, and we get raves about that as well. I'm sorry I didn't bring any.
That's okay. But I'm intrigued by the tahini brownie.
Oh, yeah. Well, we wanted to have a gluten-free dessert option for people. And so in that recipe, we've replaced the butter with tahini.
And what kind of flour do you use?
We use King Arthur gluten-free flour.
Gluten-free flour.
And it gives the brownie, like with the tahini, it gives it like a nuttiness and a little bit of chew. And yeah, they have a cult following.
So I love your wine selection. There are things from places that I've never heard of.
Yeah, since we have such a small space, I really try to find unique things to fill it that people aren't going to find elsewhere. So I really love our wine selection as well. And I've gotten nice feedback from wine people that come in and say, oh, wow, this is really unique. So a couple of the wines that I brought in for you gentlemen that you get to take home and enjoy this evening is a Lebanese rosé, which is a really which is a blend of Sinsault, Syrah, and Tempranillo. And this wine has been so easy to sell. It's from Domaine de Tourelles, and it's just a really wonderful light, bright wine. And then we have a Domaine Chadrapa, a Chardonnay, which is from Tunisia. And the one that I'm really excited about right now is the Yakubian Hobbs. And this is an Armenian wine. There's a huge Armenian population in Lebanon. But this wine is a project between Sonoma winemaker Paul Hobbs and the Yakubian family. And apparently somebody in the Yakubian family had emailed Hobbs several years ago and said how much he enjoyed the wines. A friendship was struck up. Paul Hobbs went to Armenia, and then they decided to collaborate on this wine, and the wines are just absolutely stellar, and they're made from native Armenian grapes.
You have such an incredibly eclectic menu. Yes. And wine list. Yes. And you are very much under the radar still. No one honestly has discovered you yet. I'm surprised that you're not on the feature article in the San Francisco Chronicle or either local newspapers yet. But I think once people maybe hear the show and start going, word gets around, you're not just going to be something that if you blink, you'll miss it. Because it really is going through Highway 12. You have to know exactly where your restaurant is.
Yeah, and where to park, too.
and where to park, too. An exciting menu. And also, John, as you mentioned, the wine list from South Africa, Lebanon, France, from Tunisia, Armenian wines. Wines you're just not going to see anywhere. And you have gluten-free beer, too?
Yeah, we really try to... I try to make the restaurant really easy for gluten-free people and also vegans. We have tons of options for vegan people. So you can kind of bring your, you know, entire friend group or family and everybody that's got an eating, you know, a dietary restriction can still enjoy themselves.
Well, I'm going to remember, John, that not to put an R on Zata, right?
Yeah.
No R. And they're going to go, oh, this guy's in the know. Yeah. Well, Christina, this has been fabulous. Thank you for this beautiful food. It's just delicious. And I feel revitalized by eating this style of food.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
What are your hours at Spread?
We are open every day of the week except Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And once the time change happens in March, we'll open at 9 p.m. We've got 16 seats indoors and we have a patio that seats 30 outside. Oh. It's a dog-friendly patio.
So, telephone?
707-721-1256. And you can find us at spreadkitchensonoma.com. We're also on DoorDash, but if you order through our website, we offer delivery and it doesn't take a percentage of our sales like DoorDash.
You can pay your staff.
Yeah, exactly.
Spreadkitchencatering.com. So you do a lot of catering.
Spreadkitchensonoma.com.
Oh, spreadkitchensonoma.com.
Yeah, we do take away and pick up, delivery and pick up catering only right now.
Thanks again. Uh-huh. I know we'll be hearing a lot more about you, and I'm delighted you came over to sit in with
John. Thank you so much. Really a pleasure.
Thanks, Christina. John Ash, that's it for today.
Okay.
Now the eating will begin in earnest.
I'm sorry, I can't talk.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening and supporting the show. Steve Garner saying stick around. Following the news, Clark Wolf at the table. This is KSRO.
Freedom discussed.
It's about time we face the facts over gun control.
KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk.